going to talk about victory today and our conquest in Christ. A conquest is a word that means victory. It means triumph. So we're going to talk about that today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where is your hope placed? Is it placed in some human, that human will change their mind and maybe be different? It will work because humans do fail. But our faith and our hope is in Christ. It's in the Word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. All that the Lord does for us. Remember that old hymn that's in some of the older books? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I will not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. That is the only way that we can have victory and strength in our life is by leaning on Jesus, realizing he's the only one that can help us. Nobody else can help us. Jesus has been sent to this world to help us. And I'm going to read to you right off of my lesson sheet here that I studied, because I'm going to get to you letting me turn to the Word in a moment. King David, in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through verse 3 and 4, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverance. The God of my rock, God is my rock, and in him will I trust. He is my shield. He is the horn of my salvation. A horn that speaks of power, an animal with power. He is the horn of my salvation. My high tower. He's where we get the victory. We go to Jesus. My refuge. My Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's all found right there in 2 Samuel, David, the king, talking, saying that. Then in Psalm 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? You know that we can have that kind of faith in God, that God is on our side. He is faithful. He's going to work out things for us. We can have that kind of faith, just like David had. I will not be afraid. Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works, all of what he does. I'll witness to you today that in my life, that's the victory for me. What I am reading to you right now is depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that if you depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust in him for all things in your life, you are going to be a victorious person, a person that is yielded to God and will be really blessed of God. So let's ask the Lord to bless the word. Father, we just thank you for the word of God, which is so powerful and strong. And we ask you that you will work in every person today and give us the victory in our lives, Father. Help us to walk with God and let him have his way. The only way to really be happy in life. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians in the New Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 1. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the victory, that our conquest in Christ, our triumph. That word conquest means our triumph in Christ. Praise the Lord. The devil will try to fool us that there is no hope for us, that we cannot have victory in the Lord. But that's a lie, because he tries to do that, you know. He's a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him on the cross of Calvary, but he likes to come along and say, you know, oh, well, you know, so you're going to fail. In Galatians 1:3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And the world, the word world here in the original is the age. We are in an age, a period of time right now, that a lot of things are going on that are terrible in this world, terrible things that are happening. But yet God, in his grace to us and his peace from the peace from God, can deliver us from the anxiety that we can gain by looking around us and seeing all the things that are happening. He wants to deliver us from this present evil age that we are in, according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what he wants to do for us. Hallelujah. From this present evil world. Hallelujah. And as I said, conditions are just getting worse and worse in this world. Evil is abounding. There are so many tragedies happening in the world, all sorts of evil conditions and things that are happening. And I have a sermon that I wrote, but I want you to know that so you know I'm not just reading somebody else's sermon. Most of you know that. But I do write my sermon out, and then I try to remember what to say without reading it. But anyway, God is good. Praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But he then tells us, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Okay, so here we are in this kind of world that's worse and worse all the time, as in Paul's day, my goodness. They had the Roman government was in charge, and they would arrest Christians and throw them in jail and prisons and kill them. And Apostle Paul himself was killed, you know, beheaded for Christ, and, you know, all of those things that took place. It was a horrible time, and it was worse and worse. And we live in the end of the time that God has been dealing with man. Very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come back. And so we know that it is time for us to gain victory in the Lord in our lives and walk with God and yield ourselves to God, because he loves us so much. He has given his Son as our Savior. Praise the name of Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 24. We've referred to this a lot because this is Jesus Christ himself talking about what is going to happen in the end of the world, when it comes time that it's going to be very, very terrible here in this world. Antichrist will come forward, and he will be a terrible man that influences people to get the mark of the beast and different things that he promotes and follow him and walk with him, and he's very satanic. But before that time happens, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he's going to take those people that are ready and watching and waiting for him to come the first time. And then the second time, he's going to bring some more, take some more people up. Praise the Lord. He's going to bring those up to him. And later on, he takes some more people up. So we praise the Lord for that. We're going to begin reading this verse 6. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled." That word means to be frightened. Don't be frightened at the enemy and all of the troubles that there are in this world. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We don't have the end of this world yet. There is going to be an end. That's what the Bible proclaims. And I believe the Bible. I hope that you believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you need to start believing, because this is what the Word of God says. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences." That means plagues. There'll be many plagues of terrible things. "Earthquakes in diverse places. all of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This particularly is talking about the Jewish people right there. The believers that believe in Jesus Christ, how they'll be persecuted in the end time. So we thank God that the scripture tells us what is going to go on. If you look at the TV news right now, you'll see that there's a lot of troubles all over this world. One of the things that I've noticed lately is there's so many of these very crucial periods where there are as great earthquakes and there's great, you know, floods, and there's this all of this stuff that in the weather that's happening that's destroying things. And I really believe this, that God is trying to say something to the human race. There are so many people that don't believe in God, don't even believe in Jesus. God is saying, the time is short. The time is short. The judgment is going to come on this world. And we need to be ready, watching and waiting for the coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just look at the news sometime and you'll see what I'm talking about. All of the different places. So what is the remedy for us to have victory in the Lord? We need to have victory. You know what victory means? Yes. Those that go to war and they win it. Praise the Lord. Those that have trials and tests and it looks like that they can't even smile, yet God gives them victory. God gives them strength to endure and keep on going. That's what victory is and for the Christian. And to love God regardless of what anything else, the rest of this world doesn't amount to anything. The most important thing in our lives is to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. That's what the Bible says even in the Old Testament. To love him supremely above all. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. We're going to read a little bit of scripture here. This is one that is hard for me to get away from. So you probably think, well, she read that last week. So in this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, I love this portion at the end of this chapter, beginning with verse 16. Praise the Lord. In fact, let's read verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Now, what does that mean? God is trying to bless all of us through all the things that he has done for us. He saved us. He brought us salvation by Jesus Christ dying on the cross. All of the things that God has ever done for us. He loves us. And all of these things that he has done are for our sakes. That the abundant grace. See, God doesn't just give us a little tiny bit. He gives us abundant grace. That's what we appreciate about our dear God. He loves us. He works for us. Abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound unto the glory of God. Now, I don't use the word redound. Do you? I don't say my car is redounding. But you know what the word means? It means to superabound. Not just enough, but a little, a whole, not just a little, but a whole lot of blessings. That's what God our Father does for us. He loves us. He wants us to follow him and love him. And he makes sure that we have the blessings of God. And he works in us to draw us to himself. Now notice verse 16. For which cause we faint not, because the love of God so abounds toward us, there's everything wonderful God gives to us, we are not going to faint. We're not going to fall down. But though our outward man perish, this is our body, even if our body would go, God would see that it pass away and we'd be put into the grave. Even though our outward man will perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What is the inward man that he's talking about? That's Christ in our life. If we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have Jesus in us. And Jesus wants that place of our obedience to him. So even though our outward man might perish, our outward body, yet we have the inward man, which is renewed day by day. The Lord comes in, and especially if we will learn to read the Bible. Read the Bible every day and come to a church where you can get the Word of God into your being, where you learn how to overcome in your life. As we do that, then he is working in us. Notice he says, for our light affliction, in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And every one of us have trials. Somebody can come and tell me about their troubles. I don't always tell them about mine, but I have trials too. Everybody has trials. And the only victory in that is letting God work in us, and realizing in ourselves all that we go through, light affliction. I mean, I haven't ever had to go and be in jail. I haven't had to be persecuted and kicked and my arm cut off during a battle or something like that. I haven't had to go through that kind of stuff. But I do have trials, and so do you. We all have these things that happen in our lives that are so hard for us. But as we realize that the Lord is on our side, all of these things work together for good to us, as the scripture says, that love the Lord. And we think, when we're in those trials, we think, how is this ever going to be anything good? Had some of those in my life. How would it ever be any good? But the Lord works, and he works in us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Did you know that if you let the Lord govern your life, that he's laying up rewards for you in heaven? He is. It's rewards. And one of these days, we'll be there with the Lord. As we let him govern us and work in us. Notice in verse 18, this is the important verse, I would think. Because it's sort of like if. Like the little if. If you do so and so, these things will happen to you. Now notice what it says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Every one of us goes through trials, terrific trials. And if we look at those things, we see how terrible things are. Terrible. And we don't have victory in our life. It's of no avail. We're just suffering. But when we begin to look at the things which are not seen, look at Christ, look at Jesus, seek after him, ask him to help us in our lives, then what happens? It is light affliction. Whatever we're going through is just light. Have you ever experienced that? My goodness, what the Lord has done in my life in so many times, the troubles that I have had in my life, and yet he was always there to help me. He says, for our light affliction, which is just a moment. This is just happening right now in this life. We're waiting for the next life. Hallelujah. He says, but at the things, we're not to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, how can you ever look at something that's not seen? And why would the Bible say that? How could you look at something that you don't see with your natural eye? Do you see Jesus today with your natural eye? Do you see your grandma that passed away? She loved God and she's in heaven right now. There are things that we don't see with our natural eye. We have to, by faith, believe that God really is there. And he really is there. Praise the Lord. Says we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal. Amen. You look at something, you think, oh, that's just what I want. I want that's going to make me happy. and it doesn't make you happy. And all of us have been through that. It isn't what I want, what I need in my life, but that's the way it is, you know. But praise the Lord. So we look at the things which are temporal, and they're just here now and gone and worn out and so forth. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So how do you see eternal things? You give yourself to God. You give yourself to the Lord. You give your eyes to the Lord. You give your mind to the Lord. You give your voice to the Lord. Let him work in you. Let's go over to the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're going to read right here in this third verse of chapter 10. Now, as we know the Lord as our Savior, we learn to walk with God, to yield to God. The flesh, the old world is out there. They're doing everything they want to do, just going on, you know. But God isn't pleased with that. He wants us to come to know Christ as our Savior and then yield ourselves to him, that the word of God will be worked in our lives. And this is what this is about here in chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, let's think about the warfare. The warfare is that the Lord wants us to be completely in victory on the battles that we have. The battles is what it's talking about, where Satan tempts us, where Satan is trying to overwhelm us. That's what the warfare is. It's a warfare between those who know Jesus Christ and old Satan, just like he did with Adam and Eve way back there in the beginning, telling them, oh, this fruit is good for you, you know, and God said no, and they still did it anyway. We all do have the tendency to do that. Now, you might think, well, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, I'm a Sunday school girl, or, you know, I've always been a Sunday school girl. But I have a fleshly nature, and so do you. And if we let the devil do our bidding, tell us what to do, we'll do those things, whatever. We'll do them because that's our old nature. We have it. And so he says here, this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly. There is no way that we can overcome something in ourself. You can think all day long, I'm not going to say that word anymore. I'm not going to do that thing anymore. I'm not going to, you know. And you'll find out you're doing it again tomorrow. I mean, I could ask for hands, but I won't do that because I know all of you would have to raise your hand that you have had a moment in your life sometime when that was the truth. And you really tried to do the right thing, but you couldn't do it. And so, as he says here, they're not carnal. They're not just according to our own flesh. But how can we have the strength to overcome? The word mighty. Notice that, mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Satan has strongholds that he brings against us, but we are able, through the help of the Lord, by falling on the Lord for mercy and help, he gives us that power that we can put down all of those strongholds that Satan is trying to put up to defeat us. He's a liar. The Bible says that Satan is a liar from the beginning. He's one of God's most beautiful creations. But he went against God, and he is evil. Now notice what it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I'm going to tell you, I could ask all of you to raise your hand, but I won't do that. I'm sure that the majority of people here that have tried that I'm just going to try this in my own strength and I'm going to be victorious, you'll find out you just fail. You fail. We are human beings. We just have these tendencies and we're going to do it if we don't depend on God. And so there is an important thing here that we learn to trust in God. He's the only one that's going to be able to help us get victory in anything that we have. He's the only one. And we seek him and we let him take control of us. That's a difficult thing for a lot of people to say, here I am, God, just control me, take care of me, help me in this time because I'm just not what I want to be in you. And I know you love me. He loves you so much. He's willing to just help you with anything.
Amen. Right.
And then going down, it says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, God wants you to obey him. He wants you to follow him. And so that's what that's about. And then in verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, in other words, belong to Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So we don't look on the outward appearance because we see failure. I'm not going to raise your hand, ask you to raise your hand, but I know what the Bible teaches, and I know myself that I have failed at times. All of us have. We're not perfect yet. We wouldn't be here if we were perfect. We are children of the living God, and we want the Lord to work in our life that perfect work. And he will if we let him, but we have to be willing. He's not going to force us to. He never forces us to be a child of obedience or anything like that. It's not like our earthly parents have spanked us. Now, God does spank us sometimes, but it isn't that he's just trying to be mean. He's always working something to try to help us to follow him and yield to him. Praise the name of Jesus. So victory. Victory is what we want in our life. We want victory over our fleshly self, our human self. We want victory over the world. The world has all these things to offer, but many, many are going to go to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ. And then the satanic part of it, where Satan is constantly trying to draw us away from God. Somehow, just get us away from God. Victory. The word victory in the Greek means to conquest, to triumph. Victory is winning a battle, as triumph is to winning a war. Triumph is bigger and more significant than a victory gained. That's what those two words mean. Triumph means you gained it all. Victory, you've had a little battle. You've gained a victory. But as we walk on with the Lord, we learn to triumph in Christ Jesus. We learn to be victorious. This is the victory, John says in 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, Satan will try to destroy our faith. The way that we gain faith is the hearing of the Word of God. Through the Word, faith comes about in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, that's it. I'm going to stop right there. And if there's anyone here today that would like to come up and pray at the altar and ask the Lord to help them in their times of trouble and need, or if you have any needs in your physical body that you need healing for, just come and we'll be glad to pray for you, ask the Lord to help you in anything that you're going through right now. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the only way for us to have victory in Christ. Praise the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.